This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Swinging a high drive into center field, hits at the wall, it is gone! Costas does it again!
Again!
It's gone! It's into the bullpen! This game is tied! This game is tied!
He swings and rips one to center field. It's high, it's deep, it's back, it's gone! Sale winds, he fires. Swing and a miss, Frank Lee, it's over! The Red Sox have won the World Championship!
Welcome back to Play Tessie. It is episode 160. It's an emergency podcast. We were literally just in your ears complaining, moaning. Oh, we were not doing well. But since then, Craig Breslow, the Red Sox, they get their act together. They make a huge move, a monumental move. The breaking news of the day, the Red Sox acquired star starting pitcher Garrett Crochet from the Chicago White Sox. This is a move that the three of us on this podcast have been preaching the entire offseason. Yes, it got a little shadowed by the Soto stuff that captivated the nation. Obviously, that was the biggest story in the world. But Soto or no Soto, Garrett Crochet was always the best and most realistic, the best of the realistic targets of the offseason, I should say. This guy is an absolute monster on the mound. He comes with 2 years of control. He's 25. He's not going to turn 26 until June. So this is a guy who you're getting at minimum 2 years. I'm hoping there's an extension soon to follow. We'll see. And on that, Sean McAdam reported today that he's talked to people close to Crochet that say he would want an extension with a new team. He would want that stability and that sense of belonging with an organization. So we'll see if that's to come. Say they do extend him. Now you've got what? His 25, age 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, whatever. It's the same argument as to why Juan Soto was going to get such a long contract, such a big contract, because you're getting his prime years. Obviously, yes, we spent the better part of the previous, 12 hours hoping that they would sign Corbin Burns, a pitcher who's 30 and you'd be buying his 30s. Obviously, I would still love for them to do that. I don't expect that to happen at this stage. And there's a chance that when you're listening to this, he's already off the board. But the Red Sox went out there, they found a guy, and they were convicted in doing it. The return was steep. They traded Kyle Teal, who has been an obvious member of the Big Three, Big Four, Big whatever, Big Five, whatever. It's obviously changed a bunch. Kyle Teal, one of the best prospects in the Red Sox system. Braden Montgomery, their first-round pick from this past year, who was a top 55 or 60 prospect in baseball. Chase Mydroth, elite bat to ball skills, but questions about whether he's going to be more than like a bench bat utility kind of player. And Wilkerman Gonzalez, a pitcher who had helium in the past, but is coming off probably like a couple of down seasons, certainly last year, a down season, not as highly touted of a prospect as he used to be. But obviously the two big names, Kyle Teal and Braden Montgomery, going for Garrett Crochet at least 2 years. But, you know, obviously the return is steep. It's going to hurt. It was always going to hurt. But you have the ace of the Red Sox present, and you have the ace that if they do what they got to do and sign this guy to an extension, he's going to be the ace of the Red Sox future too.
So a little bit on Garrett Crochet, who, as Lou Merlone calls him, is a pig in the most endearing way possible. This kid, just the body alone, 6'6", 250 pounds at his 25-year-old. He has a fastball that averages 97.2, but he's got 93rd percentile extension. So that 97 probably feels closer to 100. The kid is unbelievable. 209 strikeouts over 146.1 innings. I have been so obsessed with this guy that I just rattled those strikeout numbers off the top of my head. I am so happy that the Red Sox made this trade. I kind of forgot what it felt like for the Red Sox to make a big move. I didn't know what to do with my arms. I got a little tear in my eye, just finally feeling some positivity about this. Gosh darn, are we 5 minutes in? We're not 5 minutes in. I can't swear yet. This G-dang baseball team. Unbelievable trade. Yes, the price is steep, but whoever said it, there's this phrase going around. At a certain point, you trade prospects for parades. That's what the Red Sox are trying to do. Long way to go, but my God, this is a heck of a start for the Red Sox. I'm thrilled with this trade. This is the guy. This is the guy we've been talking about, and they got him. It's crazy.
It is. I cannot even put into words what it is like to see a big move. Because the last big move like this genuinely was JD in 2018. That was kind of like oh my God, they did that. Like Story was like a good signing. I was like, oh my God, wow, we got Trevor Story. There's been a couple here and there. This is one where you go, this is so vividly reminiscent of the sale trade in 2017, the meetings, 2016 winter meetings. 17, yeah. And it's just, it's so relieving. And then the other thing too is it opens so many doors. It opens so many doors because you have a controlled guy. You're more than likely going to extend him. He's dirt cheap. Now you're in the position to go, sure, go get your Walker Buehler. You now have the money to, you know, overpay for, if you want Teoscar Bregman, go for it. But Tanner Scott, like it opens so many doors because you got a 25-year-old on a rookie contract who is a top 10 pitcher in the league. I can't believe this is my life.
Pat, on top of what you just said, it does open a lot of doors. Another thing is the Red Sox now kind of have a little bit of leverage. They're not those, you know, pathetic losers who are like, we really need a pitcher. We don't have any starting pitching. Please help Corbin Burns, Max Fried. We have no leverage. And, you know, those pitchers can just bend them over a barrel and get as much money as they need. Now the Red Sox can play a little bit more hardball. They can walk away. They're like, ah, we got Garrett Crochet. We're good on you, Walker Buehler. We're all good, Sean Manaea. No worries, Jack Flaherty. We'll walk away. And then maybe those agents go, wait. Okay, fine. We'll negotiate. They have leverage now. These teams don't look at the Red Sox as a team that's desperate. Nobody wants to be there anymore. You know, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but this is like, this changes so much. And we were saying, just make that one first move. We wanted them to set the market. They didn't exactly do that. Close enough. This is really good. I'm like, again, I just said it. I don't know how do I take this all in? It feels so foreign to me at this point. Like Pat said, 2017 or 18 with JD Martinez was the last time we really had a oh my God move, and even that was kind of like they waited out his market. JD didn't have that many suitors. It was the Red Sox and like Arizona or something. So just a great move, the start of a lot, hopefully. Gordo can't even talk. He's so shocked,
dude. I'm getting sick. I'm trying to fight it, man, but I'm getting sick. But piggybacking off of Pat said, like you were saying, Pat, it opens so many doors. Usually when you make a move, like for instance, if they signed Corbin Burns for $250 million, that closes doors. You now have less money to spend because we, as we know, John Henry has a limit. But the truth of the matter is the Red Sox farm system has never been in a better place to take, or I shouldn't say never, but has not been in a place to make a trade like this since the Chris Sale trade. They're able to make a trade like this and still have three of the top 10 prospects in baseball. Like, they still have an outfield surplus. Like, they didn't trade from the Duran, Rafaela, Willier, Roman Anthony four pack right there. Like, they're still, they didn't spend money. They didn't trade from that four pack. So you still have potentially another trade to be made, whether it be now or in the near future. And you have plenty of more money to spend. I don't know where they're going to spend it, but I mean, it just, there, it, a move like this with how they constructed it signals that there's so much more to come and soon that, like, would you be surprised if we had another emergency podcast tomorrow, the next day? Like, it, anything's possible at this point. Like, they're in. They're going for it. That's what this move means.
Yeah. I mean, now you turn your attention to that right-handed bat. That's where I'm looking now is, you know, guys like Bregman, Teoscar, maybe a trade for Taylor Ward. There's a lot of options. I think that the anxiety and, you know, the stress about making one of those moves happen is very much decreased. And I mean that in the best way possible. It's not like they don't have to show any urgency. But, you know, if you miss out on Teoscar, you pivot to someone else. You're not like, oh, my God, this offseason's a total disaster. And I know we're talking about Crochet and he's a pitcher. Now, what does that have to do with the right-handed bat? But as a team overall, just the vibe is so, so drastically different now than it was 4 hours ago.
Can I just remember? Do you remember when you saw that report? Like, I knew the second I tweeted this that it was that I was the ratio was going to be wild. But the Vinesan report of Burns is probably a little bit out of their price range. They might pivot to Nick Pivetta. That was the valley that we emerged from with this Crochet thing. And to that point, the thing that reminded me of that was Joel Sherman just tweeted out that the Cincinnati Reds, who wanted Garrett Crochet, have now checked in on Nick Pivetta. And I'm just imagining, oh my God, if that was us, my head would have a hole in it. Like,
geez, Gordo. Yeah, I hear you. I would file that under completely unacceptable, bringing back Pivetta. And it's nothing against Pivetta. I think he's a good pitcher, but that's just not even close to what
about
you
now
need.
Though? What about now, though?
Oh, well, Pat's hello. Making a face. Did something happen?
We got a little maybe relevant update.
Hit it, Pat.
Brandon Gomes, Dodgers GM, was just on
that's not what I saw.
MLB Network.
Yeah, what did you see? I saw something else. You say first. I'll say what I saw next.
Okay. Brandon Gomes was just on TV with MLB Network and essentially thanked Teoscar for his service to the Dodgers. It sounds sure as shit that they do not think he will be back.
Oh,
that could
okay.
change. That could change. GMs do that. They do that. But yeah. But it's still interesting because it's different than it was. I'll tell you what
he
I saw.
Said, oh, no, go for it.
No, tell me what he said and then I'll go.
Teo was incredible for us, both on the field, off the field, the impact he had in the clubhouse with the younger guys. So those are conversations we'll try and continue to have. Like we've said, lucky enough to add Michael, and we'll keep looking to add talent where we can.
All right, here's what I saw. Because as we're recording, the media is meeting with Craig Breslow out in Dallas. Yeah, Dallas. Craig Breslow said the Red Sox still want another starter, not depth, a rotation starter, plus a right-handed bat and relief help and a backup catcher. So we will see. There's going to be more
again.
To come.
Gordo, go down that list again. Say it one more time.
So they want another starter for their rotation, okay. Not depth, not like a depth guy.
Bueller.
They want a right-handed bat, they want Bregman. Relief help, and they want
Yates.
A backup catcher.
Sean Murphy.
Well, that's okay. Let's pivot to that, actually. Because one thing that this trade does, you got to look at the Kyle Teal aspect of it, and for two reasons. Because when drawing out lineups for like the 2026 Red Sox, and you put the big four in there, three of those guys are left-handed bats, you obviously mix that with Duran, with Devers, with Casas, like... It's a lineup full, and then Abreu, if he's obviously still here, that's a lineup full of lefties. So now you take Teal out of that, and now it opens the door to have a righty in that spot. That said, with what we saw from Connor Wong last year, do we want him to be the catcher of the future? Like, is there a chance that maybe the Red Sox pursue a different catcher, whether it be now or in the future? It's not like they have another big catching prospect in the minors. So it looks like it's either Connor Wong with a backup signed off of free agency, or they make a trade. There's obviously been those rumblings about Sean Murphy. We'll see about that. He's got 4 years and $60 million left on his contract. Like we said, they have money to spend, so they could take a contract like that. What do you guys want to see them do with the catching spot? Let's say both now and in the future. Like, it could be two answers.
I like Connor Wong as a baseball player. I don't love him as the catcher. And you look at his build, and this is the second time I've talked about the build of a player in the episode, so take it for what that is. He's not a big guy. He's not like your traditional catcher. I think he's pretty well below 200 pounds. He's not like a – doesn't look like a guy who's good at blocking, and he's not the framing. We've waited 2.5 seasons. It hasn't really improved. It's still very bad. He's very good at controlling the run game. That's the one thing you have to give him credit for. He's got a bazooka, and he's got a great pop time. But I just don't think the bat justifies keeping him in there as a starter, and the defense certainly doesn't. So what I'd like to see is maybe you acquire two catchers, one veteran and one kind of fringe backup guy. Like, even if it's a guy, this guy's off the table, but a guy like Austin Hedges, who is only defense, and then you kind of transition Wong into that super utility role. Teach him outfield, teach him like left field. He can already play first base, third base, second base. Make him a utility guy. I think he's more valuable like that, and still catch. He can still catch if you need him to.
Well, that's my question, Sammy, is why do you need an, like, if your backup catcher can also play all those spots, like, that's you don't need, like, Connor Wong can be the backup catcher and be a utility guy. Like, that might be where his value is.
The second guy I'm talking about is kind of like a up and down guy. Like, it doesn't need to be a major league caliber, you know, stud catcher. It could be a guy who's like does a few things well, and he's a backup. Pat, you got something? Another update?
No. I was just going to follow you. But a guy like Elias Diaz, stud behind
the
dish.
I like him.
Not fast, can't hit. That's exactly what you need behind Connor Wong. Just a guy with a very defensive, pitcher-focused background. You
know, that's the key. That's the key. We need someone. And to be honest with you, I'll go out on a limb here. I would want them to acquire a starter and make Connor Wong the backup. Like, I want a right-handed bat who can a right-handed hitting catcher who can defend. And Sean Murphy's coming off a bad year, and he's got 4 years at big money left, $15 million a year. I really like that idea. They've got the money to be able to do it. They've got the space to do it. They don't need to spend it on a pitcher if they don't want to. Obviously, they seems like they might. Like, we'll still keep our eyes on Walker Buehler. As I said last night with Buehler, and I'll get back to the catcher stuff, but I like Buehler if he's not the best pitcher they acquire this offseason. They just got Garrett Crochet. So Walker Buehler now would not be the best pitcher they acquire this offseason. You can shoot for that upside. But back to the catcher thing, yeah, I really like the idea of Connor Wong as a backup. He can play all those other positions. He's a reasonably, like, he's a solid hitter. Certainly would be one of the better hitting backup catchers in baseball. I think with less wear and tear on the legs, he would be better defensively than he was last year. Like, he'd be a high-level backup, and then maybe he has a good year as a backup, and you trade him for value and sign a cheaper backup. Like, I just don't know how much I trust. And to your point, Sammy, because of his body, because he's not a big guy, I don't know how much I trust him to make it through a full season doing what he, because last year he was great at the start, and then it was clear he wore down. So at minimum, I think you need a guy who can be a tandem with him. I don't know if I want to trust Connor Wong as a full-time catcher going into next year. And with Teal gone, I definitely think some work needs to be done there.
Yeah, I don't see Wong as a starting catcher. I don't know if I want to transition him out of catcher completely. I might want to run that one back a little bit. Like, I like him in that utility role, though, because I feel like he does enough things well. He's improved his contact a lot. Big jump from 2022 to 2023. Excuse me, 2023 to 2024, I mean. Like I said, throws guys out very well, good at controlling the run game, plays all around the field, a little bit of pop, too. He does a lot of things, you know, serviceable. So I'd like to keep him around. But yeah, as far as the quote unquote full-time catcher role goes, I think you just need a little more stability than Wong.
How excited are you guys? Just because obviously we're taught the way our minds work, we're always thinking what's next, what's next, what's next. But like, just to get back to like the point of why we're having this emergency podcast right now, like, how excited are you to watch that first Garrett Crochet start? When was the last time? I'm asking the question. I know the answer to it, but when was the last time we saw a guy go out there and it's like, wow, every fifth day we get that guy. Every fifth day we're going to watch this guy like strike out the side every other inning. Like, this is the best strikeout starting pitcher in baseball. And we get to see him every fifth day. It's like almost, it really does feel like when they got Chris Sale. He's not to that level. He's not to that level.
That's the answer.
But yeah, that is the answer. It's just,
yeah, you know, what'd be really funny is if in like 20, what year did they get sale? 2017. So 2031, if the Red Sox make a big trade for Noah Schultz, the next big left-handed starting pitcher for the White Sox, and he comes over to the Red Sox and he dominates. And then every 7 years, we just make a big trade for the White Sox left-handed stud. I'm cool with that. We should keep that relationship going. Sox on Sox.
How, the price-wise, with what they gave up, was it more than you thought they were going to have to give up? Was it less? Was it right on? Because to me, it definitely felt like more. Like when you compare it to what we were talking about before, I mean, literally none of the prospects that in our mock trades got used for it. We said, right. We said Willier, Cutter, Justinson Garcia, and Mikey Romero.
So we, I did not. I was not in on that. I don't clear my name from that. I never thought that you could get him for any Abreu led.
Okay, trade. So what did you think it was going to cost? Was this more or less? You thought Meyer?
I said Meyer. Meyer 1-for-1 was my last take on the trade. I said Meyer 1-for-1. So I think this is right around kind of the price, maybe slightly
more.
A
little more.
The thing that surprised me was that Brayden Montgomery was traded. Period. I did not think,
agreed.
And I said to a lot of people on Twitter in the past few months, like, there's no way he's going to get traded. He hasn't played a full game. His value's down. Egg on my face. Lapping up the egg. Like, just,
whoa, can you make that noise again real quick? All right, cool. Thank you.
And yeah, just weird to see a guy like that moved before playing a single professional game. I was trying to think, when was the last time we saw a guy get traded without playing a single game as a professional baseball player?
Dansby Swanson.
Really? No way. Was he actually? How the hell did you know that? That's insane.
Dansby Swanson was traded for Shelby Miller when he had like a 2-something ERA and lost 21 games. That is the last one.
When was
that?
What
about
10 years ago?
Trey Turner was before him, but was he? I know he was traded as a player to be named later, so maybe he did end up playing some games in the Padres system.
Yeah, that's crazy. So when was the Dansby Swanson trade?
2015.
Okay, so it happens. That was 9 years ago. So that's how rare it is. We haven't seen that happen for 9 years unless we're forgetting something. And if we are, leave a comment. Let us know who we're forgetting in this very obscure kind of trade situation. But yeah, that was the big surprise for me. Kyle Teal, he's more to me of a high floor guy rather than a high ceiling guy. Like, I think there's a very high chance that he is a solid major league catcher. Do I think he's going to hit 25 home runs? Yeah,
that's valuable.
Certainly, certainly valuable, high floor guy. But do I think he's going to be a guy who hits 25 home runs with an 850 OPS? Probably not. So I'm fine with that. Brayden Montgomery, I'm not going to lie to you guys. I don't think anyone has a clue what that kid is going to be like. He is all raw talent.
That's why it's scary. That's why it's a little bit scary there.
Stops there, but whatever, man. And then Chase Meidroff, I like a lot, but he's completely blocked for the Red Sox. He's kind of like a fringe bench guy. Like, he might start for the White Sox. He'll probably start, but on a good team, I think he'd probably be more like a Romy Gonzalez type, where he's starting sometimes on the bench, plays a bit of everything. And then Wickelman Gonzalez, I'm sorry, I couldn't give a shit. He's fine. Whatever. See ya. Weird windup.
Yeah. It's crazy.
They got Garrett Crochet.
Before we get to the to maybe the rest of the offseason, maybe predictions based off of what just happened. Sammy, this is a rare instance where one of our white whales, we're big on white whales on the show. Pat, who's your white whale again?
I believe it was Tatis.
Okay. Mine is obviously Vlad. Sammy's was Garrett Crochet.
Yes.
This is a rare, you rarely get to name a white whale that's not on your team and see your team acquire that guy.
Feels so good.
So Sammy gets his white whale, but that means he's no longer your white whale. He can't be. You have to have a new one. Who is it?
My new white whale.
Don't take Tarek Skubal. He's mine.
Okay. I have Skubal. I won't touch Tarek Skubal. We just got the next Tarek Skubal in Boston. So
it's true.
My new white whale, my favorite position in Major League Baseball, has always been closer. I think it's the most interesting position. They come in for one inning. It's like seeing the Grim Reaper. They all have different personalities, different styles to get the job done. So I've always loved closers and like following that hierarchy. So therefore, my new white whale is the Sacramento A's closer, Mason Miller, and his 200-mile-an-hour fastball. That kid is an absolute freak of nature. He might not be as valuable as a guy like Tatis or Vlad Guerrero, Pat and Gordo's white whales, respectively, but just from an entertainment standpoint, a guy like that in the ninth inning, oh my God. Can you imagine? It's like when Papelbon was on the Red Sox, you hear shipping up to Boston, like, well, it's over. Red Sox win. Pap's coming out. Keith Folk, same thing. Koji. What was Koji's song? Koji had a fun
Sandstorm.
Song.
Sandstorm.
Sandstorm. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Sandstorm. And then Craig Kimbrell. What was it? Welcome to the Jungle? No?
Yeah.
No, what was it? Yeah, Welcome to the
Yeah, Jungle. It was.
I don't know, whatever. But no, either way, I love when the Red Sox, that was kind of the issue with Kenley, is he played for the Red Sox for two seasons and he had two different songs. You can't do that, man. You got to keep the same song. It was like Champions 1 year and then it was something else the other year. And I didn't like either song. So if the Red Sox get Mason Miller, I hope he gets a cool song with like pyrotechnics, shit like that. And yeah, like loud noises, and then he just shuts down the Yankees, and the Red Sox eliminate the Yankees from the ALCS, go on to beat the Dodgers in the World Series, and good times, 2027.
What do you guys think an extension for Garrett Crochet would look like?
Not quite as expensive as like Freed, Snell kind of deal, just because he doesn't have the track record, but like...
And no free agent market. If they extend him now, like the truth here is like... You look at a guy, he's 25 right now. You would think, oh my God, you're paying for half of his 20s. Like, it's going to be expensive. But the truth is, as Sammy says here, he's not a super, he's thrown just over 200 innings in his career. And obviously, you're paying prospect wise for upside here. But when guys sign extensions multiple years before free agency, they don't go, like, you have to sacrifice the money that you would make on the open market. And the reason they do it is, especially for a guy like Garrett Crochet, because he's been hurt in the past. If he gets hurt again, then you get that label. If he's coming off an injury going into free agency, then you run into stuff like what? Like Shane Bieber had this year, where he had to take a one-year deal because he's coming off Tommy John. So there's incentive for him to do it, and he wanted to do it last year, and it seems based off of Sean McAdams reporting that he will want to do it here. But it's not going to be the $200 million Max Fried deal, even though you're getting... Instead of Max Fried's 31 through 38 seasons, you'd be getting Crochet's like 25 through 33 seasons. It's like a Devers extension.
I would say 5 years, $125 million.
And 5 years starts, added to the two?
Added to the two. So it starts in 2027 and it takes him through his, what year would that be? He's 25 now, that's 7 years, 32. So then he can hit the market again at age 32 and cash in. And it's not like, you know, I mean, he has less mileage on his arm than most 25-year-olds. So, yeah, you'd imagine he's still going to cash in big time. And can you imagine what the market's going to be like in 7 years?
Disgusting.
Oh, my God. Everyone's going to be a billion-dollar player. Your backup catcher is going to be signed for $200 million in 7 years.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
My prediction, I think it would go one more year than that. I think it would go for around... 145 to 150. Tyler Glasnow, I still got to do some more digging and try to find better comps. Garrett Crochet is such a unique case. You don't see guys that have as little experience as he does, but are as good as he is with only 2 years left. Like, he broke on the scene last year and like looked like Paul Skeens, but instead of the full 6 years of control, he's got two. So. I look at Glasnow. Glasnow signed for $135 million. He only had 1 year to go before free agency, so he's giving up a little bit less risk than Crochet would be giving up. So I think it'd be a little bit more just because you're getting younger years, and maybe he can hold the Red Sox by the balls a little bit more than Glasnow was able to with the Dodgers. But yeah, around
Glasnow. Glasnow has a injury history like a CVS list. Garrett Crochet had Tommy John. Everyone gets Tommy John. Glasnow's like, oh my God, you could write a book about his injuries. Yeah, I don't know. It, like you said, Gordo, it's kind of I want to call it unprecedented. It's just a weird scenario, because if I were Garrett Crochet, well, let me back up. If I were a 25-year-old stud, I'd be like, there's no shot I'm taking an extension. I just saw Max Fried get over $200 million. Corbin Burns probably get close to $300 million. Yamamoto, 300, what, 25, 350, yep. Whatever he got. A lot of money. So I wouldn't sign an extension. However, Garrett Crochet, apparently, like you said, McAdam, his source says he values security and being in someplace long term. Does that sound like a Red Sox guy or what? A guy who cares about where he's playing and like
I know.
Loves the culture and everything. I can't freaking wait to watch Garrett Crochet. We should do like a live Twitter spaces or something. Oh, yeah. Or I'll give Gordo a gummy and I won't tell him what's in it. And then Gordo will be like, what's happening? Garrett Crochet's incredible. And he'll start crying. Oh, man, it'll be amazing. Your wife will be so mad at me, but it'll be a great joke to tell in the future.
Pat, what do you think the extension would look like?
So I think what they'll actually try and do, and I think what he would kind of want to do, is sign him through his age 30-31 season. So I think like a 6-year deal that negates his last 2 years of arbitration for like 140. Six for 140. He hits free agency at 31. The Sox don't have to pay a guy late into his 30s. I think that's like a really good window for them to operate in. You get 6 years of an absolute monster through his prime. He gets the free agency. You get the best of them. I think it's best for both.
Yeah. I mean, either way, like any way, you have to lock the guy up because I'm really excited about this deal. But if they only have that, like the caveat here is if they only have him for 2 years and then he goes, that's going to be a tough price to swallow that they paid. So you got to get that done. That's got to be their largest priority. And you know what? They only have to pay him what his ARB number is going to be somewhere between 2 and 5 million this offseason. So, or this coming season. So we'll see. But
give him five. I hope they give him like the max amount just to make that relationship start off on the right foot. Don't fuck with this guy.
Extend him before you get there. Extend him before you get there.
Even better. I just feel like they offered $700 million to Soto. They offered what, $190 million to Fried. Maybe they really are, you know, different with the money now. I just can't give, you know, you guys know how I feel about that. I can't give them credit until I actually see pen to paper. They still haven't done the money stuff.
Are they going to pay it back? Are they going to pay it back? It seems like they don't want to pay 200 plus mil for a pitcher in his 30s. Okay. Are they going to pay it back? Yeah. Are they going to do it?
See, that's fine with me when you're making the Crochet deal. Now yes, I don't mind that. When you weren't trading the prospects and you were nut-hugging all the prospects, I hated that. I don't want to pay a guy in his 30s. Well, you're never going to get a guy. Now they've found a way to get a guy. Now I'm okay with it. Now it makes sense. A lot. This changes so much. Just in general, not just the team, but the way you look at the front office. The one thing that has not changed is John Henry has not escaped the cheap bastard allegation. So we got to see if he can do that still.
Who do you want him to pay? If they were going to give one sizable contract, like of let's say $65 million or what, like up until anything. So it could be $300 million for Burns or something if you want. If they had to do one, what are you doing at this stage?
At this stage, nobody. I'm waiting until Vlad is a free agent next year, giving him $500 million.
Well, I agree with that, but like my answer was going to be think about Teoscar Hernandez here. And
this year, not a big contract.
Right. That's what I'm saying. They can't not pay anybody. Like they're gonna have to spend some money.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant like pay. Like
no,
big
not
contract.
Necessarily. Like
no, okay.
Like
so six, then yes, Teoscar would be fine. Bregman, I can't make a decision on Bregman. I'm up and down with him. Good player, of course. Trending in the wrong direction. We all agree. He's going to be 31 on opening day. Is he going to play second base? Is he going to play third base? I just don't know. There's too many question marks with him. So I won't say him, even though I wouldn't be upset if they signed him. I guess my answer is Teoscar. And I know that's a boring answer. It's the same as you, Gordo. But like, who else is there right now? Burns? I would be thrilled if they got Corbin Burns, but my sights in terms of a huge contract, now that they got the starting pitcher, I am 100% in on Vlad next year. That
Dang, is like, baby.
Yeah, I'm joining the party with you, Gordo. I'm all in on Vlad. I guess like aside from Crochet being paid, I guess, I don't know if I'd want Casas right now. There's so much time with him. There's no rush. Same with Hauk. You got like 3 years. But then the price could go up. I don't know, man. That's a tough question. I don't know who I'd pay right now.
Well, maybe I should change my answer up a little bit because I said Teoscar. And obviously we won't know. But if they're not going to pursue Vlad, or if signing this guy wouldn't take them out of pursuing Vlad, my answer would be Burns, because having Burns and Crochet at the top of the rotation would be absolutely devastating. But I am a little bit wary that a Crochet extension plus Burns, like they're probably not about to dish out a half build of Vlad at that point. Pat, who's your answer for this?
I think the smartest investment at this point is Tanner Scott. I think Tanner Scott gives you a great reliever. And I know that you're kind of doubling up on lefties with Chapman and Scott, but it's 1 year. You have Chapman for 1 year. You can live with that kind of redundancy, especially with guys like Whitlock, Slayton, Hendricks. I think Tanner Scott is by far the smartest money investment that will age the best of guys who are going to get that kind of 50 million plus or whatever it is.
It's an interesting answer. They are going to need to add one more reliever. I don't know how into the whole 4 year deal for Tanner Scott I am now that they have Chapman, but there's a lot of bullpen options out there. It's funny because they kept saying, oh yeah, the bullpen market's going to be the one that moves the fastest. Yet what? It's like Jordan Romano is the only one that signed. Am I forgetting anyone since the winter meeting started? Is it just Romano?
Reliever wise?
Yeah. Anyone I'm forgetting?
I don't know. It's just Romano.
Chapman. Like what?
Well, no, since the winter meetings.
Oh, meetings?
Yeah. I think it's just him.
Yimi Garcia.
Okay, Yimi Garcia.
He's good, man. Damn. Yeah. I wish they got him.
2 years, 15 for the Jays.
I'm not interested at all in Estevez. He scares me. He's a good closer, don't get me wrong. But when a closer is not like striking guys out at a crazy high rate, it just freaks me out. And I feel like you got to be striking guys out as the closer.
I'm out on Estevez, too. I'm out on
that. The exception is if you're Koji and you have the greatest command that anyone has ever seen, you just dot the pitches wherever you want and get everyone to roll over. That's the exception. But, you know, generally, I like a big strikeout guy. Here's an idea. I don't think you guys will love this. Yoshida to the Pirates for David Bednar. It's a bad contract swap. Bednar has had a lot of success as closer. He was awful last year, like a 5.5 ERA.
What's the money look like? The answer to this question is going to be fully dependent on if the Pirates are taking back more money. It's not realistic.
Kill some time, Gordo. I'll pull it up. Do a song.
Well, the other Yoshida contract swap that you could consider, obviously, if they wanted to do something with Luis Castillo, we've talked about that. Everyone's talking about the Arenado thing now. That doesn't feel unrealistic. Arenado, that might be a thing that could happen.
Wait, this seems wrong. Spotrack says
was he extended?
I thought he was.
I don't think he was, dude. I don't think he was.
Was he not? Hold on. Let's see.
I'm pretty sure he wasn't extended because they kept thinking about trading him. They kept thinking about trading him and never did, but I don't ever remember an extension. They extended Reynolds. They extended Reynolds.
You're right. They didn't extend him. Why did I think he was extended? Maybe it was just the conversation. Okay, here's my second trade option. And I already presented this one to you guys, but it's cool we talk it out. Like, let's say the Red Sox, hypothetically, let's just say Walker Buehler. They sign Walker Buehler. And then you trade Cutter, because he'd be redundant at that point. You already have depth. Trade Cutter to the Twins. You get back Yoan Duran, who's right now a setup man, but you could see him being a closer. Throws 105 miles an hour. And then Christian Vasquez, and that's your backup catcher for Connor Wong. He's familiar with the Red Sox, of course, has won a ring with them. I think that'd be cool. The MLB Trade Machine website thinks it's a fairly close deal.
That's a solid one. I like that. Obviously, the Twins would have to be willing to part with a guy like Duran, who's freaking crazy. We've seen him dominate the Sox in the past. He's crazy.
We'd have two guys throwing
105. That'd be crazy.
I think I was with you, Gordo. Were we at the game together when they played the Twins this year? When Duran, I think he only hit 104, but still, we were like, damn. Oh my God, 104. That's crazy. But yeah, you know, he's not the best reliever of all time. 3.6-ish ERA this year. But like, dude, crazy upside. You'd have him for 3 years for no money. And then you figure out backup catcher with Vasquez. And it's a nice
and it
reason.
Saves the Twins money. That's the key here, is because they're obviously trying to shed payroll. But
and they get a control.
I like the idea of paying a starter and then trading, because we've seen, I mean, obviously with this trade right here, the market for starters. Pat, what do you think of this? And then we got to do quick Who Says No and get out of here, because Joe's got to produce a radio show. So we got to make sure that we do right by our producer.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's contingent on adding that secondary rotation piece that Craig wants. But I mean, Duran is white whale worthy for some. That's a huge get. Vasquez is still great defensively and absolute nothing at the plate these days, but You got to give to get. And I think both of you guys plug some holes.
He's a professional. I guess my who says no was running. I was running A, to get to make sure I made it in time for the podcast, but B, to get through the rain because it's pouring rain. I was running across the street to Whole Foods to pick up some broccoli. That's right. I'm eating broccoli.
That's so weird, dude. I was literally just at the grocery store at the same time as you, and I also bought broccoli. We're so healthy.
So healthy. Well, anyway, while I was running through the rain, I saw a dog's life almost end. Almost ran underneath a fast moving car, but instead of going underneath it, ran into a wheel. And the guy whose dog it was, the dog was off leash, but I was like,
Oh yeah,
standing there calm as hell, like nothing happened. I'm like, are you okay? He's like, yeah. I'm like,
dude, if I saw a dog get hit by a car, whether it died or not, that would probably fuck me up for, I'm not even kidding, like multiple years. Like I wouldn't be able to stop thinking about it before bed for so long. I can't, if I saw a person get hit by a car, I'd be like, ooh, ouch. But a dog?
I know.
I can't see that.
Anything from you guys? Enough said before we get out of here?
No, I'm very relieved. I feel like I can view the off season more optimistically now. And we got something to look forward to.
It was a rough day.
I got a quick one. Just to further demonstrate how much Garrett Crochet has broken our brains, Gordo just referred to Nuff Said as who says no about eight times, and Sammy did not react.
No, I heard it. I just didn't want to talk over Gordo. I did notice that, though. I was like, okay.
Oh, God.
I know what he's talking about. I don't think it'll confuse listeners too much. It's all okay. Right. We're all rattled in the best way.
Yeah. What a day. I'm beat, man. Anything else, Pat? Is that what you got? We good to go? All right, let's get on out of here. Thanks for tuning in. Episode 160, the emergency Garrett Crochet Play Tessie podcast. Probably the most emergency podcast of all emergency podcasts that we've had here. Remember to subscribe wherever you're getting your podcasts. Rate 5 stars as well. Check us out on YouTube. We're on the WEI channel. Find the Play Tessie playlist there. Hit the thumbs up on the videos. Subscribe to WEI. Find us on the socials at Play Tessie on both Twitter and Instagram. You can see the video of me going on a rampage about not getting freed and the reports of them not getting Burns before this trade went down. I'm feeling a lot better now than I was during that. But yeah, check those out on the socials. For Sammy and for Pat, for Joe, it's Gordo here for the Play Tessie Emergency Garrett Crochet to the Boston Red Sox podcast. Thanks for tuning in. Peace.